This is Pixelated Audio, and you're listening to Gunmaster. Welcome back to Pixelated Audio, a podcast focusing on game audio, its history, and the people behind it. We're your hosts. I'm Brian, and this is Gene.
Welcome, Sailor Scouts, to Gunmaster. I was getting a bit of a Sailor Moon vibe with that. That was the opening or intro track for the game Gunmaster, which was an arcade game released in 1994. We've been talking about games that are from small boutique developers, although they aren't really exactly, but this is sort of a weird one-off, and I'm happy to talk about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of energy in that opening track that we came in with. You were getting some Sailor Moon vibes?
I definitely was about to perform my transformation dance, but I decided to stop because it's late at night. You know how it goes.
Yeah, Gunmaster came out in December of 1994, and it's a single or two-player co-op fighting game. It's a little different than your Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat-style fighting games. More on that later, but it was both developed and published by a little company out of Japan called Metro Corporation. Before we talk about them, let's get into another track here. This is Soldier or Ares. Let's take a listen. Heard Soldier or Ares, and that's or as in like mining ore, composed by Famishin, Shadow, and Maz, and this is for Gunmaster. It's a upbeat track. The drums are just really, really punchy and kind of in your face in this entire soundtrack. I don't know if they overdid it or what, but it's pretty harsh.
You know, yeah, this track specifically reminded me a lot of like Streets of Rage 2 and 3 boss tunes, just, you know, the tempo and the
danciness to it.
The danciness. But yeah, it's like very, very up tempo. You know, we're talking 140 beats per minute or faster. I really enjoyed, I mean, you know, I love like odd things thrown in. There's a section about 2/3 of the way through where they go into an odd time signature. I think it's 5 or 7, something like that. Yeah, exactly. I really, you know, like, I love it when they throw something in there just like to kind of not like not ear candy, but to trick your ear a little bit into, oh, there's something interesting happening. And then, you know, when the track loop comes around, it's not quite as predictable. I mean, this game is super short. Like, I've seen long plays of it. It's like a 10, 15 minute long game if you really know what you're doing. So, like, there's not all that much music, but what's there, I feel like, you know, it's like very, you know, short but intense, which I really like.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, this is using the YM2151 in conjunction with the Oki MSN 6295, which is the 4-channel 80 PCM sound chip. So we're getting the really nice, you know, beautiful FM synthesis, and then we got this really cool 4-channel, you know, 80 PCM that's playing on top of it. So it just adds more punch to it. And I think, you know, 94 is already, you know, the YM2151 at this point is dated, but it's just amazing that it's still so versatile and so, you know, loved and used. I mean, yeah, it's cheap, right? It's easy to put this chip in any arcade for pennies on the dollar, but it's, at the same time, there's a lot of experience out there that have used this chip over the, you know, over the years, and you can make really good music. So
we love our seasoned chips on the show. You know, if the developers are putting out their cigarette ash on the chip because it's been around so long and nothing's going to happen to it, you know they're putting their love into this.
Well, this is 94 in Japan. Everybody smoked. So I'm sure there's ashes flying all over the chips anyway. So this company, Metro, they were responsible for a few different titles, but they're not like a household name. So tell us about Metro.
Sure. So Metro Corporation, or Metro Graphics, as they're sometimes credited, is a, I'm just going to call them a mid-sized Japanese developer. They're still around, which is really cool. They never really got huge, though. But back in the day, when they started in 1987, they were founded in Osaka. And I didn't see any earlier credits than 92, but it looks like a lot of their earliest games were arcade games in the early 90s. This one was 94. They had a few games before this. Nothing super notable, but they are pretty well known for their two Busta Groove games. I think they were also called Busta Move, but the PS1 rhythm games with, like, you know, the funky disco vibes and stuff like that, not you know, Bubble Bobble. And they also developed Bomberman Wars for PS1 and Saturn, Bomberman Max 1 and 2 for the Game Boy Color and Game Boy Advance, everybody's favorite, Britney's Dance Beat for the PS2. And I don't know why this has come up recently, but the Japanese and European exclusive PS2 game 10,000 Bullets. Somebody mentioned it out of context, and I'm like, why?
I was just hearing about this the other day, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why it came up in casual conversation, probably in a Discord channel somewhere. But anyway, the point is, these weren't necessarily huge games. Busta Move might have been, or Busta Groove might have been, but the other ones, I don't think either, you know, just kind of in and around. You've probably seen some of those. More recently, though, there was a bit of a break where they were mostly working on, like, small mobile games and, you know, like pachinko things. Nothing too exciting. But in the last few years, they've been pretty tightly linked with Nintendo as kind of one of their teams that they go to for development work. So they worked on Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, Pokemon Legends Arceus, both of those, I think, for the Switch. And just recently, in the last couple of months, they were one of the teams on the development for the Another Code, or Lost in Memory, I think is what those were called, the DS and Wii games. They just remade them. You know, it's like you go to a mysterious island. It's sort of like a puzzle-y sort of game. I liked both of those a lot. I don't know if you played them.
I played the one on DS, and I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, yeah. RIP Sing, we miss you. Great games. Sorry, Hotel Dusk. There won't be a third game in that series, unfortunately. But enough about another company. What do we got coming up next?
We have a track called Pokemon Onyx. No, I'm just kidding. This is Pearl and Onyx Gemini. So let's take a listen. We'll be right back. All right, you just heard Pearl and Onyx Gemini, composed by Famachine, Shadow and Maz, for Gunmaster in the Arcade.
Good track. Reminded me a little bit of the Yoko Shimomura stuff from Street Fighter 2. I mean, it's FM, first of all, and it's like kind of fast-paced. I don't know, like kind of like Blanca's theme and some of that sort of thing. I don't know. It's more of a... Maybe Ken's theme, kind of in that wheelhouse, but I think it was just the rock music that was happening at the time. That was just the vibe I got.
I think I can kind of see that, but mostly just because of the percussion, necessarily the FM side. But this is a cool track. It's, you know, again, got a lot of energy. It jumps into it like a strange kind of time signature towards the end. I think that's kind of a theme that we might be seeing through the rest of the soundtrack, but yeah, all in all, it's a cool track. It's got some, you know, just some oddities here and there with kind of the whiny notes that are meant to be kind of like almost like obnoxious, I think, to kind of get you mad in like a fighting way, you know, just really kind of get the blood going. So yeah, it's cool. We got another track here though. This is called Leo. If you haven't noticed the theme with the name, so let's take a listen.
Yeah, that was Those Who Fight from the game Final Fantasy VII. Oh, wait, no, sorry. wrong year, wrong system, wrong everything. No, that was the track Leo. And Brian, I think this whole game sounds suspiciously like it's all boss music. Is there some reason for that?
There is. But, you know, I heard the Final Fantasy. I can get that. But I really I'm picking up. If you drop the bass line, just completely drop that out. This is a Toho track entirely. Like the early, you know, the first five games. This is a Toho track. Because you know how like the early Toho tracks, they didn't really have a heavy bass line. It was mostly that just like really like ringing melody.
Yeah.
And very dancey and very upbeat, very all over the place. And that's the vibe I got. Yeah. So back to the boss music stuff. The reason why this all sounds like boss music is because it kind of is. It's all kind of boss music. Gunmaster is a beat 'em up game consisting of 14 different stages where the objective is to defeat one or two specific boss enemies with whatever means possible. Punching, kicking, throwing, tackling, doing all different moves and shooting. The game Gunmaster is kind of a lie because there's very few guns that I can even, you know, see in the game. Even when you're playing, I mean, there's like one move you can maybe shoot, but it's more about kicking, blocking, jumping, throwing, guard, you know, and stuff. There's really only two buttons too. So except for the first introductory and final stage, you can choose the order in which you want to tackle each of these other opponents, right? So again, even though it only uses two buttons, there's quite a lot of special moves and combinations that you can do to increase your repertoire of moves, right? So it's like, you know, up and A and B together and down. I mean, it reminds me of like an early Neo Geo or a Neo Geo Pocket Color fighting game, right? Where there's, even though there's limitations on the number of buttons and stuff, there's still really a lot of stuff you can pull off, especially if you get into it. The game is really bright and colorful. It's got these almost like kind of chibi style characters. The art is great. The backgrounds, there's a lot of like kind of parallax scrolling, and the game altogether looks really pretty. But again, it's not the traditional like Street Fighter that you would be accustomed to in a fighting game. This is can be played as co-op. So you and I could tackle some of these bosses together, and I think they increase the difficulty. But yeah, it's just like boss fight after boss fight, and you get to choose around the map where you get to go almost like Mega Man style.
Yeah, it's a little bit like if Gunstar Heroes was entirely a boss rush, essentially. Like there's a little bit of platforming, there's like some, you know, top level, bottom level, some little, you know, crap enemies that you can kick around, but in general your target is the boss, and there's not really a whole lot to the stages. You know, they scroll a little bit in each direction, but yeah, I mean,
it's like one map. Yeah, you don't really
pretty much scroll. I do wonder anywhere. How much it might have been. I actually looked this up. So Gunstar Heroes came out around the middle of 93, and this game came out towards the end of 94. It's not so impossible that they played it and thought, oh yeah, this is pretty cool. Like
some influence, you know, there, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like a carbon copy by any means. It's got its own identity, and there's like a lot of cool ideas thrown in. Like, yeah, the boss rush, and there's some varied bosses, although there is a like walking crab boss, which seems a very, very literal to me. But, yeah, you know, the rest of the bosses are pretty inventive. You know, some of them are like, you know, a tag team boss. Some of it's like just, you know, one kind of powerful guy that's really good at martial arts. And, you know, like it's sort of like it kind of runs the gamut in terms of the variety of types of enemies. They're usually one-on-one or two-on-one kind of deals, though.
Yeah, but the game is pretty fun. I played it several weeks ago, and yeah, it's cool. It's a very arcade game, right? It's one of those things you put in your money, you enjoy, you get out, and then you probably don't play it again for a long time. But, you know, you walk into an arcade, as you often do, and you see it, and you're like, hey, I can go for this another round after, you know, a few years at your local Chuck E. Cheese. Anyways, quite a few more tracks, actually. This is Turquoise, and let's take a listen. That was Turquoise, composed by Shadow, Maz, and Famishin for Gunmaster.
You know what I really like about this track is, initially when it first came on, I'm like, oh, not a 16th is going to waste. It's just like everything's going on all at once. But there's that nice little break where the drums drop out just long enough to give you a bit of a reprieve. And so it feels even more satisfying when all that stuff comes back. I really like the frantic energy of this one. It's like manic but sort of contained in a weird way. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, we could drop out the Oki chip entirely for a second here and just see how it sounds.
Oh, yeah. They got a nice little bed there. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You know, it's going along, doing its thing.
Yeah, it's a very different track without those drum samples in there.
And that bass, that kind of slap bass going like a mile a minute, you know?
Yeah. What do we got next?
So the next track, if you haven't noticed, you know, I haven't played the game, Brian, so you're going to have to tell me if this is correct, but it seems to me, based on the track titles, that your character is something of a treasure hunter, as he's going after the, you know, the gemstones or the astrological signs. So this next track is Tourmaline, Virgo. That was the track Tourmaline, Virgo, and that has satisfied every power fantasy that you probably have. You know?
Dude, I love this track.
It's great.
It's so good.
If you're wielding a sword and it's the mid-90s or even the late 80s, you're probably doing it to this track.
All right, let's get to our next track here. This is Aquarius Taurus. We'll be right back. All right, composed by Famishing Shadow and Maz, that was Aquarius Taurus for Gunmaster in the arcade. And this has got a ton of energy too. They all do. They all have so much energy. I love it.
Oh, yeah. And the second half of this track is almost a different track. You know, the beat changes pretty drastically. And I don't know. I will say I didn't like this one quite as much as the other ones, but I still enjoy it quite a lot.
I'll tell you why I liked it, because it reminded me of Red Alert on the Virtual Boy. It did. Like, I mean, take out some of the drums, right? But it's got like this, like almost siren that's kind of playing too at the same time. I like that, maybe as just like a callback. Well, I call forward because that came out in 95, I think. But anyway, it's a cool track. We have another one here. This is Cancer Red Umber. This is your big crab boss. Let's take a listen.
Was Cancer Red Umber, or possibly Red Amber. It's hard to tell because we're sort of guessing a little bit from the English transliterations of this. But man, I gotta say, if I could hear this over the sound of the Street Fighter II machine, those quarters would be flying right out of my pocket. I'd be lining up to play this game. So much
this
good
is some
music.
Damn fine crab music.
Oh yeah, this whole damn soundtrack just music. Does not quit. Like there is like this was kind of a cliche phrase, but they understood the assignment. You know, they're we have a game full of bosses. All right, I know what to do.
I know what to do. How much higher can I make this FM patch go? They've got pretty high on that one. We got another track here. This is Capricornus. Let's take a listen. We'll be right back. That was Capricornus from Gunmaster, composed by Famishing, Maz, and Shadow. We went from the dancing crab to a sea goat. This, you know, at the end, right before it hits the loop, there's this really cool, like, drum breakdown, and I wanted that to continue, and it was just, it was too short. They could have kept it going.
Oh, yeah, this track could have been a little longer. I mean, the first 30 seconds is pure anticipation. And, you know, to make a little plug for our last show, the second half sounded like it would have been straight out of Gigandes, just like drum cacophony going all over the place. I love this whole soundtrack. To be honest, I listened to bits and pieces of it, but I wanted to be a little bit surprised because it's relatively short. And I know it came recommended from you, and I liked the first couple of tracks that I heard. So I was sort of like, let me kind of like get to it when we get to it in the show. And this one has not disappointed. It's been a really, really good, just, I mean, to say that it's high energy is almost redundant at this point because there has not been any low energy tracks that we've played so far, but I love this whole thing.
Yeah. So one thing we haven't talked about yet, and I feel a little guilty that we didn't bring it up sooner, but the composers. Famishing, Shadow, and Maz. We don't know much about them. Like,
that's
almost
the truth. Yeah, we have very little information on them.
But there is something, and so we need to talk about Famishing a little bit. So Famishing is a composer. It looks like it was an in-house composer for the Metro Corporation. Did a number of titles for the company and is still active today, but in a different kind of way. So there's a new company. It's called Usesoft that he's a part of, or she's a part of. And it's primarily like adult games and stuff like that. But I believe based on just my general understanding of the how the website's laid out is that Famishing is kind of like the company lead. I don't know, like CEO or how it works, but Famishing's the one writing all the blog posts still, like recent blog posts. So, and still using the same handle. So it's, you know, maintaining the same handle for like, you know, what, 20, 30 years or something. It's pretty impressive. So Famishing has done a few other titles. Do you have the list up in front of you?
I do have one. You know, if you're not a fan of clearing out anime looking games in your Steam library, you'll probably have seen this one. But apparently one of the games that Usesoft worked on was called Senran Banka, which came out in 2016.
Mm-hmm. A Thousand Colors of Love.
Yeah, fairly recent game. I don't have the rest of the list, but you know, it seems like it's the same person, and they've been active in some sense in the games industry for quite some time, which I always consider a success.
Right. And I think so. Usesoft does like a lot of adult games for PC. And then I think more recently, like iOS and Android and stuff like that.
And Switch, so too, apparently. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was like Parquet, which is like that was 2021. And he did the music for that, and also the sound design, sound scripting. And then, yeah, the Senran Banka, like we were talking about, that was 2016 for Windows. Also music composition there. There was Bomberman Wars for the PlayStation, where he was the sound designer, sound engineer for Ace, for Air Race Championship. And then a few other like smaller games. There's Mouse Shooter Go-Go in the arcade and Burst Trick Wakeboarding. Did sound effects for that, Skydiving Extreme, a few things on there. So there's not a lot of credits, but has been active and is still active. Shadow, on the other hand, we know nothing about. Couldn't find anything outside of this. Maybe it was an intern, maybe it was somebody who did sound effects. Not entirely sure, but they are credited on this game. Now, Maz, on the other hand, is...
We have a little bit here, very little.
A little bit, but
yeah.
It's still an enigma because it's a Japanese company. The alias, from what we found, is for Sven Maz, which doesn't sound like a Japanese name to me. So there's something wacky there. But was also involved in a lot of the early Metro Corporation games. So there was Poito, Gunmaster, this... Torire, Daruma Dojo, Air Race Championship, and Burst Trick alongside Famishing. So, but after like 2000, there's no credits that we can find. So they were either only there for a short period or, you know, and it's all like sound design. So it's not really, it's not really clear. Now there is some credits for music composition, but again, you know, uncredited in Poito for the Super NES. So who knows?
Yeah. Also have them on Pururun, the arcade puzzler, alongside Famishin. But again, this is, I mean, we've looked in multiple sources. It's just, there's not even any alias here, anything other than the alias, really. Just that's all we've got. So maybe they stopped going by the alias or stopped developing games. Hard to tell.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, there's one other thing we forgot to talk about is I have a lengthy diatribe here about birthstones and star signs. No, I'm just kidding.
No, we're not getting into that, Gene.
No, I don't. I did actually have to pull up a page on birthstones to make sure that I was somewhat accurate because it was clear we were going in that direction. There's just, they're playing real fast and loose with the star signs and the gemstones here and in the song titles.
I'm not entirely sure. So the soundtrack, so this is on VGM Rips, so you can download the pack. And if you want to, if you play the game, apparently the track names are used in those scenes. So 2CHH like did the rip of this. I it's kind of unclear if the track names, because I think everything's like in English in the game. It's unclear if the track names have small mistakes in them or if it's just when the pack was made. So I'm not entirely sure.
Speaking of, I don't know if you had anything else to add, but I'm ready to move on to our next track. So just to round out the talk about gemstones, this last track is called Queen Dia, or Dia, probably short for diamond, if I had to guess. And I think it's going to be the last track before we close out the show, right? Yeah, so this is Queen Dia, or Queen Dia, however that's pronounced.
Right, that was Queen Dia or Dia. Now you got me confused.
Well, dude, everything else is a friggin' gemstone. It's got to be related to diamonds, you know? It just seems like, you know, this is a word association at this point.
Sure. And they probably ran out of, like, characters anyway, so.
Well, I got to say, that track was fast.
That was the fastest one so far.
Yeah. It's like it starts off fast, and then I feel like they either increase the subdivision or they literally bump up the tempo. It's like, what is going on? Why is this faster? It's great.
It's a fun soundtrack. Today we covered Gunmaster in the arcade, composed by Famishin, Shadow, and Maz. If you want to know more about the show, you can check us out online at pixelatedaudio.com for the show notes and track lists. We can also be found on Discord. Join the fun. The link is on the website if you need to find it somehow. We'll also post the link usually in the show notes as well.
Yeah, if you're new to our podcast, make sure to check out some of our past episodes. I highlighted a couple here that I enjoy, some deep cuts that we've done recently. Last episode was Gigantes, which definitely check that one out. It is a trip. Certainly unusual for that one. Enjoy that one a lot. Plus Alpha, which was a really cool little cute 'em up shooter, which had another really great and very breezy soundtrack. And 177, Angelic Warrior Deva with Robert Vermissa, which was a really, really fun show.
God, that was so fun.
That was a great show. Yeah. I was looking back at our more recent episodes. I want to put a little bit more shine on that one just because, you know, it's original MSX soundtrack for a game that came out in the last couple of years. It's stellar. It's very Japanese, despite being made by a Dutch composer.
Yeah.
You know, like, we all grew up with the same kind of music, so we all fell in love with this stuff. So, you know, it feels very much in the same sort of vibe as this game in a lot of ways. That's why, yeah, I kind of brought that one up.
That's a good throwback. I got to listen to that soundtrack again. It's so good.
It's so good.
And I remember he was even saying, I'm not really like a composer. I just, you know, I made some music for, I'm more into the game side of it. I was like, oh man, that's awesome. You know, such a humble guy. Anyways, one track taking out the show. Do you have any other plugs before wrap up? Nope.
You know, I don't think so at this moment. What about you, Brian? Anything exciting going on in your life?
There's always excitement. There's always excitement. You know what I'd be really excited to do, though?
What's
that? Do another show soon.
Absolutely.
Let's get another one out. We got a track taking out the show here. This is the ending track, and it's been fun. And we'll see you very soon for the next episode.